Hello, and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast with Rob and Jason.
Welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, October 20th, 2014. You're listening to episode 125. My name is Rob. Sitting across the booth here is Jason.
Hey,
hey. Hey, 125, we hit our big milestone, but I've been talking about milestones too much in the last few episodes.
You have.
So let's not even talk about that.
Let's not. All right.
Let's talk about the fact that it's almost like the end of October, man.
Yeah.
Holy cow, how did that happen? Where did this year go?
One day at a time. It's just crazy how that happens, though, right? It's just like...
Right. Wow. Like, I feel like I just blinked and we were at Gen Con, you know, not too long ago.
Yeah, from
Gen Con to now. It's crazy.
It is crazy. Well, Gen Con wasn't actually that long ago.
No, well, it was like... months. Yeah, I mean, it's been a while.
Wow, it's a couple months. Yeah, that's crazy talk.
I know, it's been like 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah, man, getting older. Yeah. Getting older.
Hey, we have beer. We should drink that.
Well, it's... Did you have beer?
Yeah.
Okay, well, mine's... Sprecher Firebrewed Hard Root Beer.
Yeah.
A flavored malt beverage.
Yes, yes it is.
So this is like malt liquor. Let's see what this how this goes here. Now crack
I've
it.
I've tried it before, but you have not.
I've not. Okay. Oh. Smells kind of like beer with root beer flavoring. Do you need the opener there?
Yeah.
Whoops, I just dropped that.
Wow, sorry things about are that. Happening, smashing. I've got some My Alaskan Amber here. That
okay.
I enjoy, so
mine is strange and yours is.
I've had the strange stuff though before. Yeah. I've tried it.
All right, let's give it a shot. I mean, it literally smells like root beer and beer mixed together.
That's kind of what it tastes like.
Mmm. Ooh, I don't care for that at all.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, that tastes like weird.
You want to trade?
No. I mean, I'll keep trying.
No, it's all right. I mean, like we can trade.
I need to stop bumping things. Oh, yeah, that's foul. That is foul. I do not care for that in the slightest. Wow. I almost bought a six-pack of this the other day.
You'd have been
so
sick.
I'm glad I didn't.
I think it's all right. I can't drink a lot of it. Like, one is my limit because it does have a really odd taste.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's bad. I just think it's odd.
I can, like, still feel it on my tongue.
That's the fire brewed.
Oh, that's the fire brewed root beer? Root beer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's a no thanks from there.
Okay, you want to trade?
Yeah, sure, I'll trade with you. Yeah. Thanks, man. Yay, good beer. We were just talking before we started here. Yeah, right, clean off the spit. We were just talking here because it's funny how some listeners kind of get angry when we don't drink on the show.
Yeah. I mean, the show's not about drinking, but we do drink on the show.
On occasion, yeah. I mean, we're adults.
Right.
We can have a beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're funnier if we do have beer.
Mm.
It can be true.
The Alaskan Amber is way better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, what have I been playing lately?
What you been playing, Jason?
I've been playing, I don't care what you've been playing, but I've been playing Don't Break the Ice, which, I mentioned on the last podcast that I was going to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good. Yeah, Josiah really likes it. He's been using the hammer on his own, and I keep forgetting that, like, so they say kids don't decide what hand they are, like, what handed they are, right-handed, left-handed, until they're like, I don't know, like 4 or 5 or something.
If you say so, I don't know this stuff.
I could be totally wrong. That's what I remember. Anyways, but he very much favors his left hand, and I kept trying to get him to do it, and I was, of course, holding it in his right hand because I'm right-handed, so... Mm-hmm. And I realized he can actually play the game pretty much on his own now if I let him use his left hand. So, which is good because I can't, like, physically guide him with my left hand because, like, I'm right-handed and I'm like, with my left hand.
Yeah.
It's like spazzy.
You might as well be just, like, waving it in the air.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Especially in a precision dexterity game that Don't Break the Ice is.
Is it really a precision game?
Yes.
I don't know that I've ever actually played it.
Well, there's a bunch of cubes,
right?
And you have to tap them out one by one without knocking down the rest. there's some precision involved. Trust me, watch my kid play it, and you'll be like, it'd be better if he had more precision. Because he's just like wailing on it. And he'll be like, I want to hit that piece. And I'm like, that's a bad piece. Let's hit this piece.
Uh-huh.
So he's got a pretty good winning record. He gets lucky.
Yeah. So how do you win that game?
The other person is the one who breaks the ice, which, so in the center of the board, there's a bigger piece of ice with a dude skating on it.
Oh.
And when the dude falls through, the game is over and that person loses.
Got it.
But we don't put the skating guy on there because he makes it heavier and therefore more unstable, which is the purpose, but
sure.
The game lasts a little longer otherwise. And that game takes like a couple minutes to set up. So we've also played quite a bit of Click-Clack Lumberjack.
Oh yeah.
Which he's become a big fan of.
Yeah. That's where you chop down the tree, right?
The biggest thing I would complain about with that game is it's a fast game. Even with when just Steph and I play it, it's fast. And we've played it a few times on our own too. And I'll tell you what, what a pain to set that game up.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's a terrible pain.
That's too bad.
I would say it takes half the time to set it up than it does to play it.
Oh, that stinks.
So, now I know Katarsky's a big fan of it, and I like the game. Don't get me wrong. The game is fun, but that's a critique of the game.
So you want to hear about a really fun dexterity game that's really easy to set up?
Yeah.
It's called Cube Quest. That game is freaking awesome.
Oh, great.
It is so great, dude.
That's great.
Yeah. Christine and I played that the other weekend. We some friends were going to come over and they totally bailed on us and texted me and bailed like 45 minutes after they were supposed to have been there. And we were kind of pissed about it.
Well, yeah, that's kind of rude.
Cause we'd like spent hours cleaning the whole house and went out to the store and got munchies and beer and stuff. And that was when I almost bought the 6-pack of the Sprecher Hard Root beer. So
too bad you could have just went and given it to those friends, been like, hey, you missed this.
Just shoved it in their face and say, yeah, we bought this for you. Thanks.
And then they'd have been like, oh,
right.
Yuck.
So they didn't show up. And so we were kind of bummed out. And I had bought Cube Quest when we were at Grand Con.
Yeah.
And I said, well, all right, let's try this. That is one of the most fun games I have played in a long time.
Sweet.
It was, we played, I think, 6 games of it in a row.
How long does it take to play?
It might take 5 minutes, might take 25 minutes. It kind of depends on how you're playing. It sets up in seconds, like literally in seconds. And by the time we were done with our second game, I was like, I want to organize a tournament with all of my friends. I love this game.
Really?
It is super fun. It's great. So the game board is just like a big mouse pad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually like 2 mouse pads next to each other, okay? And you know, one of them is your side and one of them is the opponent's side. And you have a kind of a team of soldiers,
mm-hmm,
that are plastic cubes. They're basically just D6s, but they're not dice. They're plastic cubes with stickers on them, okay?
Uh-huh.
Each player has a king, and then there are different types of soldiers depending on how you want to play the game. But the basic setup of the game, you have your king, you have 4 strikers, and you have, I think, 12 grunts. All right. And you start the game by setting them up on your side however you want. The only rule is that your king has to be inside or touching the castle that is printed on the mouse pad material.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And the rest of your cubes you can set up however you want as long as they're on your side of the map.
So you can
map.
Make a wall or...
Right. You can stack them up. You can scatter them out evenly around. It's however you want to do it. And then you take turns flicking cubes at each other, okay? And the goal of the game is to knock the other person's king cube off the board.
Nice, okay. Right.
Okay, but there are some special actions, okay? Like, with the king, for example, you can flick any of your cubes you want. If you choose to move to flick the king, you can either flick him or you can pick him up and put him back in your castle.
Okay.
Okay, that's his special power. Now, grunts and strikers are basically, you flick them and where they land is where they land. But they have different faces, okay? So the striker has 5 faces that are just his face and 1 face that is a captured face, all right? So if you flick the striker and he rolls onto the other the opponent's side and it's his captured face is face up, then what you do is you roll him, and if when you roll him off the board, he comes up with his captured face again, then he's been captured.
And he's gone.
And he's out of the game. But if you roll him and his regular face goes up, then he's still good and you can keep flicking him. Okay? He stays wherever.
Pretty rare that you would lose him.
With a striker, yeah. And he when you roll him, if you're successful, he goes back into your castle. So basically you can come back into play. But with a grunt, they've got 3 and 3. 3 good faces.
50-50.
And yeah, exactly. So the grunts are good for defending your castle, but you don't want to start sending them into attack because they're just going to get slaughtered. So that's some of the strategy. Then there's some additional things, like there's a stalker. He's like a little thief guy. If you flick him into your opponent's territory and he lands face up, you can pick him up off the board and set him aside, and then bring him back in anytime you want.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
And there's other things too, and there's
it's
a healing spell.
Over there,
yeah. And so there's some really cool little unique strategies. The dexterity is crazy because the cubes they're really really lightweight, and you know you just want to flick those things and just wail on them. But when you do that, you're more likely to just flick your own guy off the board.
Is that two players?
It's two player only. It plays super fast, and it like literally, I just wanted to call all my friends and say, "Come over right now. We're gonna have a Cube Quest tournament." Because it was super fun. We loved it.
Who published that?
It was Game Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that sounds like
yeah.
them.
I'm not sure who the designer is off the top of my head, but yeah, it was great, dude. Really, really good. I
really want to try that now.
Yeah.
You have to bring that in sometime.
Yeah, I will.
Try it. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Sweet.
We also play tested my redesign of...
Card Game Simulator?
Yeah, Card Game Simulator, the card game.
Like, with the changes from the last time you and I tried it?
No, just the one time that you and I tried. Okay. I haven't played it since your comments. So for the listeners, just to recap, I turned that into just kind of a silly, chaotic card game. Throw some stuff down and take actions and, you know, real simple mechanics with some goofy powers and goofy card names and things. I don't know, what were your thoughts on it?
I really liked it. I'll be honest, and I think I told this to you, I liked it way better than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Like, it was a very solid... first try proto, mm-hmm. like very solid.
One of the most successful first tries I think
yeah,
we've ever done.
I think it was probably the most fun I've had on the first time I played one of your games.
Yeah.
Which was odd because I mean, I went in, I was pretty apprehensive only because the cards are super, some of them are very text heavy.
Yeah.
And that generally means not fun first time play, mm-hmm. but it didn't matter. Like I expected the cards to be text heavy once I started playing because they were stupid in
yeah.
a good way. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, we had some comments that I still stand by as good. I still think adding four like secrets or traitor mechanic cards mm-hmm. into the game would be good.
Mm-hmm.
For those, it's kind of like on Hearthstone. I was telling you because I knew you not played yeah. it, but so the idea is in Hearthstone, a couple yeah. of the classes can play secrets. Mm-hmm. So I put it out and it says, "Oh, Jason's got a secret," and then when you perform a certain action, when you do, it will trigger my secret,
yeah.
which will do something bad for you.
Right.
And I was saying it would be fun to have just four of those in the game. And they would do completely different things. One would help you win something at the end of the game. One yeah. would hose another player right then when they revealed it.
Right.
One is basically a stored action card that you can just flip over and immediately take another mm-hmm. turn whenever you want, mm-hmm. and then you throw it away. And we had some other random comments too about oh, sure. add this card, add that card. But all in all, that game was very solid, especially yeah. for a first attempt. It was more solid than it deserved to be on the first try
yeah.
for a silly card game.
Yeah, I was quite surprised by how well it worked.
Had no right to be as good as it was.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a lot of fun, and I'm glad that went well.
That is one that would be really fun for you to bring to Unpub, I think.
You think so?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll do that, then. I'll definitely do that.
I mean, I don't think you need to make many more tweaks to be able to bring it to Unpub.
Mm-hmm.
Make some changes we talked about, play it a couple more times, make a few more tweaks, and I think you've yeah. got a game worth bringing there.
Okay. On that subject, I'm playing on bringing Innkeepers, which I still need a new name for that, and Tea Party, because those are ones that I want publishers to see.
Right.
But you know what? I hadn't had anything else just kind of in the back of my head, though, just to kind of play with other designers, and that might be a fun one for that purpose.
And I have some ideas what I'd like to bring on pub, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
You know, Dice Hammy did that 54 card challenge last year, and I said that if they do that again, I will definitely put a game in. I've got
yeah.
my War Stories game and my Here Be Dragons game.
Right.
I would dive into working on either one of those.
Right.
If they put that up.
Yeah.
And you're actually Card Game Simulator could actually fit for that.
It's
right?
only 52 cards actually,
but that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, 52 because mm-hmm. you had said you could put the rules on.
I could
the
easily
next
put
cards,
the rules on the other two cards. Yeah.
Which means that you've got a 54 card deck, no additional rules. So, yeah, I mean, if they do that, if I were you, I would put some time into some good graphic design
mm-hmm.
and some nice, like, symbols and yeah. legit things that they could, because a lot of the games that won, some of the games that won last year, I swear the artwork was, like, basically done when they got it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because some of them just were just graphic design stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And Dice Hate Me likes that kind of stuff.
Sure,
like,
they do.
They do a lot of
right.
just games that are basically not, it's not art, it's graphic design. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's cool. Like, there's nothing wrong with it.
No,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's a
when
fine
it
style.
Fits, right? And,
yeah.
And so for some of those games that worked,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, you'd have the ability to do something like that with yours.
For sure.
So, Yeah.
So cool. I'm pretty pleased with that.
Sweet. So hey, feature of the week.
Feature of the week.
GameCrafters having a contest.
Yeah,
normally we think, oh, look at some of those, like, oh, whatever, you know, and you entered one and I talked about entering another and I didn't. And this time we decided, you decided, or you brought it up.
I had the idea.
You said, hey, there's one that's going is pretty cool. Let's try and come up with an idea, and if it's solid, let's enter it as kind of a thing to do for the show. And I was like, I like that idea.
Yeah, because it seemed like the contest idea I thought was pretty unique and it was an interesting challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the time challenge. And here are the rules to it. I'm just going to read the core rules here.
Yep.
Your game must have a strong mechanic using time as a resource, something beyond simple timers and turn counters. You are welcome to use any printables or game pieces available in our shop, GameCrafter, to create your game. Cost must be $24.99 or less. That'll be easy to do.
Yeah.
The rules document must be downloadable from your game shop page. You're also encouraged to put the rules in the game. Duh. The game must be publish ready, meaning it has a logo, backdrop, shop ad, action shots, description, all the general stuff that they want.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff that makes entering contests difficult.
Right.
All artwork must be your own or commissioned by you. Or public domain. All entries must be submitted through TGC's editor by clicking on contest button no later than noon UTC, November 17th, 2014. So kind of close in time, about 33 days.
Right. By the time this post will be less than that.
Contestants may submit multiple entries. Don't worry, we won't be doing that.
Yeah. One's enough.
And prize is 10,000 crafter points, $50 shop credit.
That was 100,000 crafter points.
100,000 crafter points. Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Assuming we'll just upload this on your account since you actually do stuff with yours.
Yeah, okay, thanks. I'll take those free crafter points.
I have a feeling you'll be sharing if you win.
Oh, I don't know if I can, man.
Well, then we could use those to order some copies of games to give away to listeners.
That's exactly the best thing that we would
see, because then everybody wins.
Well, crafter points are not, it does not equal shop credit.
Oh, what do crafter points do?
They're things for like advertising and yeah.
Oh, well, that'd be okay then.
Yeah.
But we get a $50 shop credit too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So when we win, all right. So you
so,
and I.
So a game with time as an important mechanic or theme,
right?
Or both.
So you sent this to me, and we agreed not to talk about it ahead of time. In fact, today we even had lunch together, and didn't talk about it. We each said, "I got a couple ideas. You care if I throw a couple ideas?
Go ahead and get started, because it sounds like you have at least a few more ideas than I do.
So, you know, for me, like coming up with a name is always like. Good, right? Like,
yeah.
If I can come up with a good name, and I was trying to think too, like, if we're going to have to throw together some artwork for this, let's think of something that would make artwork easy, right?
Yeah.
So I started thinking about names that had the word time in it, right? My first name that I came up with was Time Slime, which I was a big fan of.
Time Slime.
Or Time Slimes. Either way, right?
Okay.
So you're like, what is Time Slime? And I said to myself, Jason, what is Time Slime?
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately pictured this card from Hearthstone that's a slime. And I was like, oh, that's really easy artwork to do. Like, that would be totally cake to do for somebody like you, not for somebody like me.
Right.
Or if we were to commission somebody super cheap, that'd be an easy way to do it.
Okay.
And then the next thought I thought was, okay, how would slime affect time? And then I thought about Portal 2. Right?
Okay.
And Portal 2, where you're spraying all the slime everywhere.
The goos. Yeah. Goos or paints or whatever.
Yeah, whatever they are. Yeah. But they have different effects.
Gels. They're gels.
But they have different effects. And I thought, what if the slimes had an effect on the rate of time that was happening, right? So when there was a certain slime in a certain area, that would make time move faster or slower. And mixing them would make different results. Does that make sense?
Okay.
That's all I have.
That's as far as you've gotten.
That's as far as I got.
Oh, man, this is great.
So what do you got?
Thanks so much.
Hey, Time Slime.
Time Slime. It's not a bad name. I was trying to think in terms of different ways to handle time as a mechanic. Trying to get comfortable in this booth.
How are you not comfortable? This booth is sweet.
We're sitting in the corner. And my legs are like getting squished together.
You can put your legs out. There's tons of space here.
Yeah. Anyway. I was trying to think about time, like mechanics to handle time, so, like games handle time as a resource, kind of. You know, that's
right.
Sort of a thing. You know, you can do more things if you spend more time points on it. You could also think of time in terms of when the deck runs out, then time's up, or you have an X number of turns and then the world ends or what. So I thought, is there a different way to kind of make that? Oh, and then also, you know, there's real-time games where everybody's trying to do stuff in the same time and that's stressful.
Right.
Is there some way to hybridize that? And I thought, what if I have on my turn, I'm thinking this is a two-player game here. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's up to four, but on teams or something. Maybe I have to do something in my turn, and I have as much time to do that as it takes you to accomplish something, like to deal out an entire deck of cards one at a time. Maybe that's how much time I have. Or maybe you have a stack of 18 cards, and you have to sort through them and put together a 2x3 picture or mosaic of some kind from those 18 cards.
Okay.
Maybe I have enough time to do something based on how long it's going to take you to accomplish that thing. And then if we're doing this mosaic, 18 cards or what, you know, then the next time those six cards that were in that mosaic are not in there. So the next time that we get to that task, it's going to take you less time to do that.
Okay.
You know, so I'm going to have even less time to make my decisions. You know, if you're dealing through the deck, then, you know, you're going to have to take 10 cards out of that and get them out of the way. And so it's going to be so something that not only are the game components going to be reduced so that it takes you less time to accomplish that before my time runs out, but you're also getting better at it by doing it, which will give me less time. And I don't know if that's really something we could pull off or not, but it was just kind of what was bouncing around in my head.
I mean, that's not a bad idea. Like, it's interesting for sure.
Yeah, and, yeah,
my biggest
different.
Concern would be components.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have to have a lot of components for that, or a lot of cards to make those, like, different mosaics and such, right? Because you need multiple ones, or no?
Well, you know, I mean, if you've got a deck of 40 cards, and if one task is just to get to the end of those cards, dealing one at a time, on the other side of those cards, you could also have those images on
That's
there,
true.
You know? I mean, That's there's true. Some dual-use stuff there, but I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Right.
Those are just the first two things that popped into my head. And I don't know right. if there's any other way you could do that. Maybe one of the tasks is to build a card tower at least three things high, or at least two things high.
Right. The only problem with that is I could see somebody who couldn't do that.
Well, yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
They literally could not do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could do that. I'm terrible at building card decks.
I probably couldn't do it three high, but I could definitely do it two high.
Mine always end up looking like a shanty town.
Well, you just need it stacked. Whatever. We don't need you to debate the mechanics or the you know the engineering of building a card castle. That though, I kind of want to. but anyway, I don't know. I mean, does that spark anything for you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my big concern is that too ambitious?
Mm-hmm.
That's really my biggest thought.
It might be.
Is it too ambitious to try and do that?
Here's something else.
Because it's not a bad idea. Like, it's a very interesting approach on real time.
Yeah.
Which you know I'm not a fan of to begin with.
Right, me too.
But yeah, that is a different approach on it.
Here's something else. Okay. This is something that I had in the back of my head, and I've had it in the back of my head since we started doing this podcast. In fact, this might have been the second game idea that I ever had.
So it's bad,
but I I knew that it was incomplete at the time.
Okay,
that's and fair. And I've always felt like, gosh, I feel like there's something back there, but I'm not sure what that thing is. So the idea was that you had cards that you would lay out in a circle like a clock face, mm-hmm. and you would start them numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, and the game also had a 12-sided die.
Okay,
and so you would roll the die, and whatever number you would roll, you would put your piece on that number, or you would take some kind of action or do something in relation to that position of the clock face.
Right.
All
right.
And in fact, you might also have two cards in the middle that are kind of hour hand and minute hand that you could move around and point to different positions. All right. But then as you're playing the game, you're replacing the numbers in the clock face.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's as far as I ever got in my head because I couldn't figure out where to take that. And I like that idea for this because graphically it's numbers, right?
Right.
There's you know, there's very little art requirement there.
Yeah.
Which I really like the idea of that. It's a deck of cards and a 12-sided die, so it could be component-wise pretty lightweight. But I'm not sure what to do with that.
How would the cards fit onto there?
You would have to just lay them out on a table.
Or there could be a board.
Well, there could be. But I mean, you know, maybe there is. I don't know if does that. I mean, is there a need for that?
I'm trying to think, like, that might look nice, like a clock face is the board.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And I just don't know how you would go about altering said clock face then with cards, because, you know...
Well, you put a card down that's got a number to lay over the number that's already there.
Right. I'm just thinking that's a big board then.
Like, it is.
Like, there's not small enough cards to make that easy.
Well, Kingcrafter has those mini decks, those mini cards.
Oh, that's true. You know? That's not a bad point. Okay. Okay, so what's the goal of a game where you're trying to do that? Well, so the only way that you move the clock face is by rolling the 12-sided die?
Well, maybe you could also move the hands. Or maybe you roll the die and that determines how many positions the hands move, and you choose whether to move the minute hand or the hour hand. Or you have to make some combination of moving those each... a total right. number of positions. And then based on where the hour hand points and where the number hand points, that's two different actions or something.
Okay. That's not bad.
And then each number is a different action or a different effect. And by playing new cards out there, so you can play a card out there to cover up a number that's already in place. You roll the die, and then you move the hands to some position, and hopefully you can position one of those hands so that it points to the card that you just put down so you can accomplish whatever power that card gave to you.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I see, because you have like a certain window of time to... Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that.
And the game ends when the hour hand makes one full circuit, and you can never go backwards. You can only go forward unless one of the card powers allow you to move the hands backwards.
Right. Yeah. Can we call this game, like, Nick of Time?
Yeah, that's a fine working title, sure.
So here's what I'm thinking, like, you have, so you're, I like this.
Okay.
So the clock face is moving, and it can never move back. We could actually use a spinner for this.
A rondel. Yeah.
But a rondel only has one hand on it.
So does the spinner.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. Yeah. Either way, you're hosed.
Yeah. Well, you could make the pointer on the spinner be the minute hand and the actual face be the hour hand. You know, like there'd be another arrow printed on that. And then that sits on top of a board where the cards are laid out, or the cards are laid out around that.
So how do you turn, so you're saying you would turn the board,
uh-huh.
and then turn the minute hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I don't know if you need to change the times, though. I mean, if we're going to make it a thing, like, shouldn't it just be the clock is just moving? Like, meaning, like, I don't know if you should be able to change the time numbers. That doesn't feel legit. Like, I can't think of a reason
why. Well, you're messing with time. You're messing with time itself, man. You know? And depending on the hour of the day, you can do something else. But, you know, or the minute in the hour, depending on what point in the hour is. And then if you can make your 6 o'clock action occur after the 3 o'clock action, like right after, then holy cow, you know, you can mess with time itself.
What is that thing called that I love?
I don't know.
About time? Retrocausality.
Retrocausality.
Yeah, I just like that term. Yeah. Look it up, folks. Look it up. Wikipedia is your friend, listeners. Okay, anyways, we're about it. So I do like that. So you're basically messing with time. So what if every action is like... So basically there's a 24-hour day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you have 12 hours, right? Or it should be twice around.
No,
because then you got to track, was it once already? Or mm-hmm. So 12 hours. So you have 12 hours, right? And in those 12 hours, a bunch of events can happen. They can only happen at certain times. So your job is to mess with time to make it so those events are possible, because you have a hand of events that you want to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe every time you play an event, you get points for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm going to put down a number one card, okay? I'm going to put in a card number one, and in order to play that, I have to advance the minute hand one position. If I'm going to put down a card number two, I have to advance a minute hand two positions. If I'm going to put down an eight, I have to advance it forward eight positions.
Okay.
Okay. Simple, clean, easy. Nothing complicated about that. When the minute in minute hand only goes forward. Okay. When the minute in hand comes back to the 12, to the 12 position, there might not be a number 12 there anymore.
Right.
But when it comes back to that position, to the top, then the hour hand advances one.
Right.
Okay.
And so you're looking for basically a window like between 3 and 3:30, this can happen.
Yeah.
So if the time ever shows on the hour of 3.
If the minute hand is ever pointing to a 3, then this thing happens.
You mean the hour hand, yeah.
The hour hand
would be on 3, and the minute hand would have to be
between
the top and the right.
Yeah.
Or the top and the bottom. So, yeah, so the maybe the minutes never change. That would be simpler. The minutes just never change. Only the hours can change.
Yeah.
Because that way it's not as confusing.
It's either 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. It's never going to be 1:30 or 1:15.
So it'd be the 1 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
This can only happen in the 1 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Right.
So what are the different... We need 12 different actions or 12 different abilities, but we still don't really know what the goal is.
The goal is to have your events happen the way you want them to happen.
Okay.
See, that now it's like every game where you're changing time, though.
Well, then what can we do different?
Dead air, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we're thinking. See, this, yeah. And this is where I never got with this game before because I couldn't really figure out what were you trying to accomplish. Right. So maybe we need to apply a theme to this to help us move forward. I mean, the simple thing is clockmakers. Or
time traveling junkyard cats.
Nope. We've been there and done that.
I'm kidding.
It's over. And the next easy thing is steampunk, because there's all kinds of clockwork crap with that.
That's too easy.
It is too easy.
Plus, you don't want to draw a bunch of gears.
No.
So, suddenly, we could figure out a way to work slime into it.
Don't like slime.
Why don't you like slime? Slime is awesome, man.
I'm not feeling it. I'm just not feeling
that's
it.
Fine.
What if we are so time travel's got to be a part of this, right? Because we're messing with time, right?
See, this is where everyone else is going to go, though.
I know
everyone else is going to time travel, or they're going to be like, "You buy time." Like,
What about is there some kind of good and evil, you know, gods and demons kind of thing we can do with it? Because they're manipulating reality to try and serve their own ends.
I mean, we could just have, like...
Yeah. The fates.
I just want it to be something weird. Like
I something know. Something that would stand out.
That makes you be like, what? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Something that would stand out and be different. Man, what if it's politics?
Ugh, politics suck, dude.
But what if we're like Time Cop, okay?
But it's about time crimes, man.
Yeah, but like Time Cop, what about like there's the bad guy in Time Cop who's going back in time to teach his younger in the past self how to be a better politician and how to rule the world.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I feel like there has to be, like, some way to make it not about time travel. But I feel like there's... Because, I mean, everyone's going to do time travel.
Everyone is going to do time travel.
So we need to do something that's completely weird and different.
All right, well, so like, the instructions reference Red November, right?
Yeah.
Which is a game about saving your submarine from sinking, which we still need to freaking play, because you have it. And I don't know why we haven't played it yet, because I hear it's great.
I've heard that, too.
Yeah. And so your resource in there being time is time to try and save the ship before it sinks, right?
Right. We could use time as a resource. Like, the clock might not have to be the board. The clock is just like a rondelle there, or two rondelles even. Like, One is hours, one is minutes, right?
My only worry about that is that those spinner hands are loose on purpose, you know? Right. So you don't want to have to set it and be careful not to touch it.
That's true. Could we do dice to figure that out?
I think it'd be easy just to have, you know, a circle of cards and then 1 minute hand card and 1 hour hand card that you just set and point. You know, I feel like that's easy enough.
Oh, that's true.
Whoa. Well, you kick the table.
I need it technically. yeah. So one thing I do like is everything you do, every action you take takes a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And the time is what is governing when the game will end, right?
Yeah.
So what if you're not working together, you're playing against each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to speak cooperative.
Somehow we're moving our guys along some sort of thing, right?
A track of some kind.
So when I'm ahead, I want to end the game. When you're ahead, you want to end the game. Maybe you want to slow down time because you want to get yourself some time to catch up. So you want to be able to play actions slower than I am.
Mm-hmm.
What if let's take one thing that's overdone and replace it with something else that's overdone.
Okay.
What if it's about traveling at the speed of light or traveling through space?
Okay.
Because that manipulates time.
Yeah.
So the speed you are at relative to your opponent is what determines how fast time moves for each of you.
Okay.
That's true, right? That's like Einsteinian. E=mc², yo.
Yeah, no, I'm with you so far. Keep going.
That's what I got.
Oh, okay.
So if I can get my speed up to light speed, I can play cards for free. Okay, let's think about it this way. I've got a deck of cards. You've got a deck of cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're set decks, right? Mm-hmm. They're set decks, but maybe at the beginning, we each discard 5 cards out of them.
Okay.
So we don't have the same. We don't have the same decks. We have mostly the same decks.
Sure, I'm with you.
The time is your energy. I mean, the full deck is your energy that you have.
Okay.
To manipulate, that's the energy you have on your ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
The cards represent the time it takes to play them. The faster your ship is going, the more cards you can play, right?
Okay.
And because the faster the ship is going, that means you can play the cards cheaper. Like at light speed, you can play some cards for free, right? But you're also burning through your fuel like crazy, or burning through your energy like crazy.
I'm not sure how I'm seeing that reflected in gameplay.
Well, you would have to figure out a way to set your speed, but on the cards, you could just have, like, 5 settings. Like, if I'm going light speed, this card costs 0. If I'm standing still, this card costs 5.
5 time.
5 time, yes. Just time. Not, like, hours, just time. And we could use a big clock to, like, represent it, but it wouldn't be, like, Earth hours, you know what I mean?
Hmm.
Or maybe it is. I don't know. So this is basically turned into our pitch, by the way. We've been talking for a long time here.
We've been talking a long time.
Well, do we want to just kick some more ideas around offline? And then,
yeah, I think we should do that.
So we won't have them for next episode, but the episode after that, we will.
Yeah, and listeners, if you have thoughts, send them in. We'd love to hear comments that you guys have. If any of this has sparked any ideas for you, if you have any recommendations where we can take this, we'd appreciate it.
So Rob is going to do practicing the pitch for his contest.
Yeah.
That we did. Not our contest. Sorry, our pitch challenge.
The pitch challenge, yeah. A couple of weeks ago, Jason pitched based on his little wooden blocks things, right? His key game.
Yeah, and then Rob's going to pitch one, and then we're going to have a few comments from our lovely listeners, and then we're going to call it a show. So
yeah, all right, I'm going to bang this out real quick because I've had a couple of weeks to think about this. listeners remember a couple of weeks ago we had this challenge where Jason bought this tin. That didn't sound good. That sounds more like
metal.
That
sounds like tin.
Yeah. He bought this tin of sports games. They're just wooden blocks with golf tees and dice in them. And so he picked a couple to try and pitch a game inspired by that. So the ones I've got here, I have a square block that's baseball, and it's just got a baseball diamond printed on it, and four holes at the four bases for to put golf tees in. The other one is golf. It's a long rectangular block of wood with a bunch of holes kind of in two curving lines that represent the different places where your ball might land on the golf course.
Right.
Okay. So what I got here, the baseball game, you start with that and you put two golf tees in the holes for the pegs, at first and third base. Okay. And then you put a rubber band between those two. All right. And then you put one of the D6s. Okay.
Okay.
And you pull it back like a slingshot, pull it back to home plate. Then you let go. All right. And then what you do is you line up the golf tees on the golf course upside down, right? So they will topple over. Okay. And then you try and knock down as many as you possibly can. And you do three rounds. Each player, you know, I take a round, you take a round. So each player, however many players you want. And after three rounds of everybody taking a turn, whoever has knocked down the most golf tees is the winner. Done.
Drop the mic.
Yeah. Well, drop the wooden block.
Phoned it in, but it wasn't bad.
It
sounds terrible. I'd try it.
it's a dexterity game.
It was,
man.
Clear and concise. I'll give you that.
Yeah, there you go. So there.
Hey.
I fulfilled my pitch challenge requirement.
All right, listeners. So, hey, we got an email, a couple emails from Mr.
Yeah.
Kevin Yude, the winner of Castle Dice, who still probably doesn't have his copy of Castle Dice. You might have it soon.
I hope you have it by now.
It was sent out.
Uh-huh.
It was sent out.
Yep.
Not yet in real time, but it will be sent out tomorrow. Let's make a game about podcasting in time.
Podcasting
like
in time.
We talk about this has happened, but not yet. But then it's happened.
Yeah, that's
not
a bad theme idea. If we
it's
kind of
stupid. People would like that.
Maybe we should try and work that in. Podcasting.
Yeah,
you gotta finish recording your podcast before time runs out.
That's not a bad idea at all.
Yeah,
before your wife yells at you. All right. Anyways, either one of ours.
It's not a bad day. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay, so two emails I want to get to.
Kind of meta, though.
We've been missing for a while, and I feel bad about it.
Yeah.
So the first is from Jonathan Boo.
Jonathan with the last name.
I've screwed your name up before, Jonathan.
That Jason can't pronounce.
Starts with a B. The email is entitled Totes Jelly.
Totes Jelly.
I'm Totes Jelly about the Here We Dragons game you discussed last week. I am in love with the mechanic that puts four suits on one card. Sorry if you hear them buzzing. I don't have a choice. I'm reading this from my phone. I'm in love with the mechanic that puts four suits all on one card. I think it'd be a fun game even without the theme. Just four colors with numbers on the cards, take tricks, add a scoring mechanism to like 500 or something, and I think it would work great. The new theme sounds even better than the Nanam theme version. Non-normal trick-taking scoring and a nice theme would be great. I'm super excited to hear about this and anything else with that mechanic. Totes Jelly, Johnny.
Totes Jelly. He didn't comment on Totes Jelly, though, whether that's a thing the kids say or not.
It is a thing the kids say.
I'm telling you, I've never heard it before.
It's a thing.
And I still pray that it's not a real thing.
Seriously, listeners, call in and leave a voicemail that just says Totes Jelly, Rob.
770-TELL-BTG.
Okay, so this one is from Tim Cooper.
Tim Cooper.
I'm sorry. It's taken me a while to get to this. I'm afraid you're going to think it's because you gave some very specific feedback in here, and I don't want you to think you're avoiding it. We got this several weeks ago. We just haven't had a chance. I'm really sorry.
Our voicemail episode went so long last time.
Yeah, so here we go. Hey, guys. For the last 6 months since discovering your podcast, thanks to Flip the Table. Thanks, Flip the Table.
Hey, yeah.
I've been working my way through your back catalog. Overall, you do a fantastic job, and I admire your high levels of enthusiasm and creativity. Let's just soak that in for a moment and say thank you. All right. So
and now it all goes downhill.
It goes downhill. Yeah. Sometimes, though, I hit an episode that is painful to listen to as you fumble through a feature that you show a surprising lack of knowledge of the hobby game scene. Today I hit episode 90, where Scott King brought up the idea of building a tableau in a game like Gory to Rome, San Juan, or Seven Wonders. To clarify, a tableau in this case is not a physical thing. It's a concept of playing cards out in front of you that count as powers, resources, and points. The collection of cards in front of you each is known as a player tableau, which I did not know. I thought that was a tableau was a physical thing.
Sure.
We'll keep going. Throughout the feature, you talked about an individual player boards as tableau. Player boards are a physical component of many games, especially towards the heavier end of Euros. I would agree with that.
Yep.
I totally appreciate what you guys do, but maybe you should check out some other board game podcasts to broaden your knowledge. And then he lists some, and I'm not going to list those board game podcasts because you guys know what board game podcasts you want to listen to, and I'm not going to endorse any other podcasts right now.
Selfish.
I hope this didn't come across as too negative, as I really do enjoy the show. Tim from Scotland.
Thanks, Tim. Hey, so, I love Scotland. I had a wonderful, amazing time in Scotland, and hopefully you've made it to that episode by now.
Yes.
Where I talked about that. Yeah, so, all right, okay. So,
can I start out?
Go for it.
Okay. So, all right. Tim, you're upset. I get it. You've got some valid points. Do we always know about the features we're talking about? Absolutely not. No. Sometimes we should do more research. Totally agree. So I want to point out a couple things that I slightly disagree with in what you're saying. You picked episode 90, which I think is a bad example, and here's why. Scott King was on that show. Scott King brought Tableau to something to talk about. We did not have any time ahead of that to know about that.
Yeah.
So yeah. So anyways, so we did the best we could, and that's cool. But I don't want to... We've never pretended to be two guys who knew a ton about the hobby gaming industry.
Yeah.
In fact... We've said the opposite, which is that we don't know much about the hobby gaming industry and we're trying to learn. And I respect that you have some ideas on how we could learn and some other podcasts to check out. And we do listen to some other podcasts. We listen to Flip the Table, which is not going to help you learn about the hobby gaming market. It's going to help you learn about the hobby games you should not be playing. But yeah, I will listen to 20 Minutes of Filler and stuff like that too. And, so anyways, I respect the feedback. I certainly think there are times when we could do a lot better on knowing what we're talking about with the features. I just don't think that was one of them.
Yeah. My honest response there is that, you know, I mean, we say this is a documentary podcast, right? So we have said we don't know a lot of things, and that one of the main goals of the feature of the week is when we have a topic, we want to try and seek a greater understanding of it.
Right.
And sometimes we come at it just from a very from an ignorant point of view because we simply don't know. But it's always an endeavor to learn more. And you know, we count on listeners like you, though, to help us learn more. And so we do appreciate that very much.
So, you know, plus I think we could put some fault for that episode just on Scott King in general. Let's just, Scott.
It's all Scott's fault.
It's your fault.
It's all your fault, Scott. Thanks, so, thanks for nothing, pal.
Listen, you can follow him on Twitter and send him hate mail. So. We're just kidding, Scott. But no, that is a risk we've actually run before. I mean, if you want to make fun of us for not knowing about the hobby gaming market, I would direct you to episode, I believe, 6 or 7 when Chris Kirkman came on and said, I'd like to talk about worker placement.
And we said,
what's worker placement?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's true. I mean, when we have guests on, we ask them to bring a topic, and right. We actually prefer that they not tell us what that's going
to
be in advance.
We used to ask them to tell us ahead of time, and then we would do research, and then it would be like we'd artificially know about these things,
but
we hadn't played
a game
that had it.
Right.
So that honestly is one of the reasons why we've done less research in the past. I mean, it's not, I know you guys think it's because we're like lazy, but I mean, the fact of the matter is, if we come into it not knowing, that's okay because we can kind of give our perspective on something we know nothing about, which is something we're pretty good at talking about things we don't know anything about. But no, Tim, thank you. We love honest feedback like that. I'm glad you still enjoy the show, and I hope you continue to enjoy
the
show.
We hope so, for sure.
Yeah, so...
And send us some scotch.
Yeah. Do that. Also, you're from Scotland. You could call and leave a voicemail next time, because that would have been more awesome if it had been in your Scottish accent. Just saying.
Racist.
I think Scottish accents are cool. How is that?
I don't know. It's just funny to call people racist.
You're terrible.
Yeah, well, you're the one who said it.
Anyways, couple shout outs I want to give. Jason Gutarski has a game on Kickstarter right now. Dead Drop. Should check it out. The artwork is really good for it.
Yep.
And also Fifth Street Games, our pal Chip Bouvet has Chroma Cubes out, which I got to play at Gen Con and I very much enjoyed. So
yes.
I just wanted to give shout outs to
those out.
Real
for
quick.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. They're good buddies of the show and they are good games.
Yeah. I think that's everything.
I think that's so. I also want to say, just check in, Finish It. I finally ordered the final prototype, the final pass version from GameCrafter, so that should come in the mail right around the time when this episode posts, so hopefully later this week or the week after, Finish It will be available for sale on the GameCrafter. We're looking at, I think, $25.
Could you put a time mechanic in there and drop the price by 50 cents, and then we could just submit that as our contest?
No. I don't think I can do that.
Worth a try.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess that's it.
That is it.
Yeah, no Twitter questions or no other emails or anything, huh?
So, if you want to talk to us, you can find us on buildingthegamepodcast.com, or you can send us an email at buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to follow us, you can follow Jason at J.A. Slingerland or Rob at poorly_designed. Or you could like us on Facebook, which doesn't really do much because I always forget to update Facebook. Or you could follow the show at podcastbtg, or you could download us on iTunes, or go somewhere else, or you could buy our games on our website on the shop page, store page, or
what's our voicemail?
You could call us at 770-TELL-BTG, and you could rant about us. You could even do it in a fake accent if you wanted to.
That would be so awesome. Please do that.
Yeah, do that.
Please do that.
Yes. And you could listen to Something from Nothing every other Sunday or hear it on iTunes.
You could do that too.
And that's the show.
That's the show.
Wow. Good night.
That's pretty good, man. Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
I don't know. I've always wanted to just take over and do that. So.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's funny because I realize, like, I'm like, do I know all this? Because I don't normally say it, but yeah. I hear you say it, and half the time I just tone out and, like, don't listen.
I know,
to
you just turn and look at your phone. I just start looking at my phone.
Because yeah. You don't let me look at it during the show because it makes it buzz.
Yeah, and you freak out because you can't be away from your phone for more than, you know, 20 seconds at a time.
Just wait till I have the phone the size of my head.
Yeah, it's going to be
the best,
your,
dude.
Your Apple Fablet.
I'm so excited.
You're going to bling it out?
Ab Fab.
Your app fab.
That's what I'm going to call my phone from now on, my app fab.
Your app fab.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I like it. I support that.
So, all right.